All right, it's Thursday, which means we're going to talk sports. This is exactly the same thing as Wednesday when we talk politics. Only on Thursday we talk sports. You know what that means, Keith? Less depressing, but way more pointless. It's a legal shift.
The growing calls across the nation to defund the...
giving them business down there. That's a 15-yard penalty.
There was no foul on the play. It was not a hold. The defender was just overpowered.
Illegal shift on the kicking team. That penalty is refused. First down.
Guns up, giddy up. It's Failure to Stop, the best podcast on earth. And you're listening to the best show on the best podcast on earth. That's right, Thursday. It's the show where a bunch of first responders get together and they talk about the most important thing on earth, which is sports, the thing that distracts us from the crumbling civilization and the end of days all around us, especially in this election year, when any day now, society will poop the bed, something awful will happen. I'm John, I'm a 911 dispatcher and all-around upbeat guy. I'm joined, as always, by firefighter Jason Kiefer, chief somewhere out in the Buckeye State. I only talk to him once a week because we have a weird relationship, so I have to literally talk to him on this show. So we're going to table the sports talk real quick while I catch up with my good friend, old Jason Kiefer. Keith, how are you doing, man? What is up with you?
I'm good, buddy. Hey,
how are you?
Good to finally talk to you since last week. I appreciate that.
Oh, yeah. We also did yesterday's show.
Oh, yeah. Last call, but we weren't counting that because that wasn't our work related.
Yeah.
Shift. That was the last call related.
We had to talk to Deadleg.
That was fun. That was a fun show yesterday. If you haven't checked it out, make sure you go check it out. I think we had a good time.
Go back and watch that episode. Any episode in which I mention Abraham Lincoln, you know it's a good episode. It sounds like an episode of Illegal Shift. I'm sitting here talking about like major like policy shifts and habeas corpus and the schism in the Catholic Church and the Great Reformation and all that. Just the perfect sports show, right?
when you brought up Honest Abe, I actually did giggle.
You know,
you compared him to you.
I'm really more of a Rutherford Hayes, aren't I?
Yeah, probably.
Stole the election from Samuel Tilden, Republican from Ohio, Gilded Age president. You're like, what the fuck are you talking about? If it's a president who's not on a piece of money, I don't know anything about it. That's okay.
I knew you hated Ohio. You had to bring that in.
I don't hate it. They've given rise to a lot of great Republican presidents.
We got a ton.
Yeah. We're live today, so I'm going to address some of the chats. Hello, Will Cray. We thought about doing the entire show just dedicated to you because you're the one that's going to be here. Felony Melanie, I don't mean this in a weird way, Felony Melanie, but you're pretty much the female equivalent of Will Cray. Not sure what the differences are, having never met you specifically in person, although I've met Will. I bet you could bench press 225, Felony Melanie. That's really all I'm saying. I'm glad you survived the terrible storms there. Armor Knight, the guy that loves to troll me, is here. What a great show. David is going to be here. He's driving home from the Navy. That's good. Bone Coles, please, Austin. No Eagles content here tonight. He says, Drinking Bros was a banger episode today, and this one will be too. Weird that I get compared to that show. I have literally never seen an episode of that before, so I don't know if I'm like them or not like them. I have a feeling I'm very, very, very unlike them. Keith, have you ever seen Drinking Bros before?
I follow and listen / watch all the time.
Are they what I'm supposed to be doing?
You remind me of a subdued Dan Holloway because he's angry all the time.
Oh, I'm angry.
I know.
That's my secret cap. I'm always angry. I'm mad about plenty today. It's in the sports world, but we'll get to it. By the time we get to Cowboys news, I'll be frothing at the mouth. And I'm excited because Keith is you were actually pretty mad just last week. You like started sending me shit like right away. I'm like, our show's out for a week. Will you calm down? He's immediately mad. We'll get into that. Before we get into mad, let's talk about what makes us happy. Being paid by Ghostbed. But you just thought I was going to say Ghostbeds. We do love Ghostbed because without a sponsor, the show would be, I mean, I mentioned it being kind of pointless earlier because like, you know, what does sports really matter? You know, in an end of all things kind of context. But, you know, without money, I definitely wouldn't be here. You know, I do a lot of podcasts. So thanks to Ghostbed. If you like the show or, you know what, even if you hate Illegal Shift, even if you're just like, why am I listening to this? Like maybe you're like trapped under a piece of like like an I-beam right now, and your device is just playing failure to stop, and you're on a Thursday show, and you don't know how you're going to get through it. Like, you're trying to like gnaw off your own arm so you could get away. Just remember, GhostBed actually supports the whole deal. So even if you hate Illegal Shift and you hate sports and you hate me and you hate Keith, it really doesn't matter. Just go over to GhostBed.com, use the offer code Wolfpack. You could save 40 to 50%. Sleep so good it's scary, according to Eric Tanzi. Go on over there. They support first responders, the people that are going to pull your ass out from under that I-beam. So support them. They support veterans of the United States only. I did check into that. They have great products over there. And most of all, we love them because unlike the flags that are being raised across campuses in this country, GhostBed is 100% American, and their beds are made in the good old USA. USA.
Oh, we were close.
Suck on that, you Ivy League bastards. Makes me so mad. It's so fun to see the frat
boys out there saving the day.
Yes. Well, I don't want to make this into a Wednesday show, though. We talked about that yesterday. We also love Factor meals. I just came back from having I went out to eat. So I didn't have a Factor meal when I got home because my mood was terrible. And I decided if I didn't get some tacos, I was going to be in a terrible mood. So I went out and got some of that. But Factor Meals is a way so that you, if you don't want to go to a restaurant because you don't want to be around people, and if you don't want to go to the grocery store because of Bidenflation, just reminding you of how awful everything is, particularly compared to just 4 years ago when you were a happier, better person, go to Factor Meals. If you take out all the time, effort, energy, gasoline, and frustration and have fresh food at home, you're going to find yourself a lot better off. The last thing you want to do when you leave your shift is go out and run errands. Just go home. There's fresh Factor Meals waiting for you because you were smart and you listened to me and you went over to the Factor Meals website and you used the offer code Wolfpack50 and you saved 50% off, which is a whole ass load. They deliver fresh, not frozen meals. There are 300 options. Keith, besides red meat, what do you like to eat?
I'm a big veggie guy. There's actually not a vegetable out there that I don't like to eat, but yeah, I mean, I'm a red meat guy, but you throw a veggie in there.
What about bok choy?
Ooh, I don't know if I've had bok choy.
I knew I would come up with one that you weren't real big on, but what about like beets?
No, absolutely not.
So I'm two in a row, and I'm going to go for three to prove that you're not a vegetable person. I'm going to say kale.
Ooh, I do like kale.
Damn it. All right, so Keith's a vegetable man. Bring him some kale. I'm positive you could get some fresh vitamin-packed vegetables over there at Factor Meals. I also know that Meg, who does not listen to this show, loves Factor Meals, and it's getting her through college. Every day she's dealing with those Palestinian turds over there in Austin. So Factor Meals is getting her through that. Also, we love the Wellness Company. Wellness Company is much better than the Left Sickness Company. I don't know if you knew that, Keith. Don't go to that website. Go to the Wellness Company. You can own your health, own your freedom, and everything else with the Wellness Company. Go over there. You can find solutions designed by top doctors for your health, your metabolism, your digestion, whatever's up with you, whatever you might need a little hand with, Wellness Company can hook you up with that. Also, if you need prescriptions or whatever, they got doctors you can talk to. You can get that prescribed to you, and you can do it all before the next emergency, which is nigh, by the way, any old time now in this election year, if you're not paying attention. We got protests in 2024, just like we did in 2020. You just wait till the other shoe drops. You're gonna wish you had that. You're gonna be getting the amoxicillin that people pour into fish tanks to get the cloudiness out of there. You're gonna be eating that before you get to that point. Get human drugs that go to the Wellness Company. We appreciate them. Use the offer code Wolfpack. You could save 10%. Keith, it's time for sports.
I should have waited for my ibuprofen.
You should have
during that ad read.
You should have taken a Percocet, too. You should have taken three of those. I would love to do an episode of this show with you just absolutely tripping balls.
Oh, my God. That would be awesome.
That'll be the last episode when Eric tells us, like, you guys are done. Like, before he takes away the credentials, we'll log on one last time. And we'll just have you going full Aaron Rodgers over there. It'll be great.
Why is Chief Keef asleep on his computer?
Yeah, unfortunately, you tripping balls would just be you really relaxed. You're just like... And then you would just fall asleep, and it wouldn't be anything cool. Unfortunately, you broadcasting, like, you know, you using like scheduled meds or something could probably come back to haunt you as a fireman.
Yeah, that would hurt. That would.
You guys don't even enforce the law. I don't even know why you're not allowed to, you know.
It's a good question.
Yeah.
We have since a legalized marijuana use, every fireman's like, "Ooh, can I smoke weed?" We're like, "No, you can't."
Yeah,
it's a department policy. You cannot.
Still a bad idea.
You can't do it.
Not only that, but like, let's think about the public trust. If I could say one like serious thing, you want your 911 operator to have smoked a joint in the last 45 days? I don't think so. I don't want them I don't want any trace in their body. I want them completely focused and alert and ready to go. Firemen, I don't want them coming in there half baked before they even get in the flames.
Oh, between firemen and paramedics. Oh, I have to do a weight based drug now. All right. So milligrams per kilogram. Shit. What was I? Yeah. That's not going to fare well for anybody.
That thoroughly confused me, but I guess you probably do have to do things like that. Is that why you have the scale and the razors in the back of the ambulance?
Yes.
He showed me his ambulance once and he had all these rolled up $100 bills. I didn't know what those were about. I guess people tip you or something. Very weird.
We have a tip jar. We keep a tip jar.
Yeah, anymore, I'm not surprised with how often you have to tip for things. I don't know if you saw that meme, but it was like anything that I have to, where I'm tipping standing up, I'm not tipping anymore. Right. But ambulance would still qualify because most of your guys are strapped down. So,
absolutely.
Keith, the first time I ever rode in an ambulance, I woke up and I didn't know where the hell I was. And they told me I was strapped down because I had fought a bunch of firemen. Just goes to show you, go to your base instincts when you're unconscious.
sound like our buddy Rob.
That's actually a true story. I had a seizure. Let's get into the sports, though, because nobody cares about what happened to me. Cincinnati Reds. They've got this excellent. He's a second baseman, right?
He's playing short. He can play pretty much anywhere in the infield, but they've got him at short right now.
Hopefully, he gets promoted to first base at some point.
He won't have to throw the ball anymore.
That was a joke. I was pretending that I don't understand how any of the positions work and that the bases are ranked or something. Just you talk about it, Ellie Deagher LaCruz, and as you can see from the graphic, I thought you would appreciate that, but you don't. If you want, I will go ahead and read the article you sent me.
Go ahead and read. Did you put the graphic up? Because I don't see a graphic.
It says America is all about speed. Hot, nasty, badass speed.
I thought you were throwing something else up. Sorry.
No, that's okay. I have many graphics, so he's right to think that. So this comes from Sports Illustrated Online Edition. Ellie Deagher LaCruz uncorked the fastest throw in Major League Baseball history. As far as we know, we didn't have radar back in the days of old, Kilty McBagpipes or whoever it was who was playing in the 1850s. But they also didn't have factor meals back then. And, ice cream was mostly made out of turnips. So there's almost no way that they had the nutrition and calories that they needed to perform like today's super athletes. So we're pretty sure that this is the fastest throw ever. Cincinnati Reds shortstop Ellie Deagher LaCruz is absolutely electric. He's on pace for a historic season at the plate. And added a leadoff home run during the Cincinnati Reds 5-2 win over the San Diego Padres on Monday. He also may have thrown a baseball harder than anyone has ever thrown a baseball at Major League Baseball game. Update. You're going to have to maybe explain some of this to me. While the broadcaster saw 106.9 on the StatCast, that's a live radar graphic I'm sure they showed on the screen, it certainly looked like one of the fastest throws ever. There was actually no official reading on the throw, which, if you're breaking down the Zapruder film, if you see how far the ball travels, like within a given frame, and like you take three or four frames, or maybe it's in fewer frames than that, you should be able to tell how fast the ball is going. Just a thought. As noted by Reds announcer John Sadak, did I pronounce that right?
Yeah.
StatCast clocked a ninth inning Deagher LaCruz throw at 106.9 miles an hour. There's a video on this article, which I don't have ready to go, but it was literally too hot to handle as first baseman Jaimer Candelario. Jaimer?
I can't remember.
I'm sure honestly, it's Jaimer. I thought it was Jaimer, but then I saw his last name. I'm like, oh, idiot. He's clearly Hispanic. Sorry. Jaimer.
You got the last name right. The first name, I don't even know how to pronounce it.
Lo siento, señor. No hablo español. He can't even get his glove up in time to catch the ball. I watched this. If you haven't watched it, and maybe I'll throw it up. But at one point, Deagher LaCruz has the ball in his hand, and I think he realizes that like the guy's going to be safe at first or whatever. So he's just like, fuck it. And he takes a second. He almost like charges it up. Like if this was a video game, you would actually see his arm glow, and then he throws it. It is absolutely fantastic. I'm not really a good one for this story just because they all look fast to me. And when I think about like a ball coming at me at 106 miles an hour, I just don't know how I would survive that. So it makes baseball seem way more dangerous. But the guy, the first baseman, didn't even catch the ball. It was an error. It was noted that De La Cruz might have just been trying to see how fast he could throw it. Should I try to throw it up on the screen?
Yeah, try it. See what happens.
What the hell? Why not? I'm gonna try doing a
while you're doing that. Like as he throws the ball, like anybody that's played baseball, the ball starts to actually rise to where Candelario has his glove ready, and then all of a sudden he's like, "Oh shit, there it goes." We'll see if we get demonetized for this.
We're definitely gonna get demonetized, but I don't care. Because I'm all about just bringing the sports to the people.
It's worth it. I mean, he had a two-step crow hop.
He looks kind of sorry afterwards. Look at that.
So the Cincinnati Reds used to have a pitcher who's gone to other teams, Aroldis Chapman, who I was at the game where he threw 103 mile an hour fastball. That's 60 feet, 6 inches from pitcher's mound to the plate. This guy, Ellie, is throwing it from shortstop. I don't know what that distance is, you know, where he actually, you know, launched the ball, but had a, you know, a two or three step crow hop and then just launched it.
That was amazing.
And it was huge. I mean, I know Hot Take hit it on ESPN. Like it was the biggest thing in sports that next morning. I'm trying to find, cause I got it here. The previous record belonged to Colorado Rockies outfielder Breton Doyle. Last fall, he was clocked at 105.7 miles per hour on a throw home.
That would make sense. Yeah. It's to me, someone that has only played like in a church softball game, and I'm not sure why you're throwing it that hard to first base, but I don't know. I don't know anything about baseball.
I think because it was towards the end of the game, and they were talking about it, you know, here on our local sports, like, you know, he was heated up, you know, he was, you know, jazzed up, fielded it well, and then all of a sudden just let it go. But
probably ate a whole
between
thing
his arm speed, his base running ability, he's fast as shit and can hit the ball a ton. I mean, he literally is a triple threat. But for us to have a little bit of a Cincinnati Reds like, ooh, hey, look at us, we're hitting ESPN. But that's a big deal. 106 miles an hour. I played first base all growing up and all through high school. And yeah, I don't want to feel that smoke. I want none of that. Slow down, dude. Slow it down.
He may be a quadruple threat. I mean, maybe he's really good in the kitchen too. We have no idea.
He might be.
Good for the Cincinnati Reds. Glad that you guys have something to kind of give you some hope and it can get you through summer. We're get you there. Straight through to football season. I've been trying to follow a baseball team. I'm still like, this is my baseball support group, I guess. But, you know, all they show around here is Twins, you know. And I guess that brings us to our next story. Sausage Fest. Minnesotans are just straight weird. Have you ever been to, like, a state fair? The Minnesota State Fair is weird. I went there a couple years ago. This is way before COVID. But they've got all kinds of treats there, right? Like, you can get, like, a, you know, big old turkey leg. You can get frozen key lime pie dipped in chocolate. Some good stuff. I swear to God, I saw someone eating a deep fried human hand.
If we can deep fry anything.
That really weirded me out. I was actually on this gondola ride going over the fair, and I was looking down at those chumps on the ground because, you know, I was king of the world up there in the air. Anyway, I saw like this kid. I swear to God, it was like just a claw. It was deep, but it looked like a piece of KFC, but it was a hand. It was a human hand. Really ruined the fair for me.
Can literally deep fry anything. Deep fried Twinkies, Snickers, Oreos.
Yeah. You wouldn't think that like with the wrist and everything, there'd be a lot of tendons in there and a lot of dark meat. It wouldn't be any good. Maybe it's all about the sauces, you know?
It's a little tough. Yeah, you know? And what do you dip that hand in, John?
I'm going to do anything with mustard, probably. I love mustard. Are you a big mustard guy?
On bratwurst.
Okay, well, you'll be ready for the story. Maybe you'll switch over to being a Twins fan. This is from Yahoo Sports, which is the pinnacle of reporting, by the way. Twins offense has apparently been revived by a summer sausage. Minnesota's on a 7-game winning streak, which is long for baseball, possibly with the help of a cured meat. This comes from scientist Ian Castleberry. Summer sausage could become more popular among Minnesota Twins fans this season. It's already a symbol of celebration in the Twins dugout. You know, I used to make fun of baseball by saying it's the only sport where you could literally like be playing the sport and eat a fucking hot dog while you're doing it. And this just kind of proves it, you know, because in the NFL, of like, if you eat a hot dog or something, this has happened before, like the players get fined for that. Like, you're not allowed to eat stadium food on the sidelines. And I think it was who is the butt fumble guy? At one point, he was eating a hot dog, and like people were just like, "Why are you eating a hot dog, dude?" I forgot his name. I'll come up with it as soon as the show's over. Mark Sanchez. At one point, yep. they caught him eating a hot dog. I'm like, "You're gonna feel terrible after you eat that. Like, why don't you just eat a protein bar or something?" Like, you know that the New York Jets definitely have something that it's like probably designed in a lab for your specific body for you to eat. You know. Eating a ballpark, Frank. Anyway, infielder Kyle Framer made the cured meat product a thing for the Twins when he left a sausage on a table at the clubhouse. You know, if you did that in the Supreme Court, that would be grounds for a lawsuit. According to St. Paul Pioneer Press reporter Betsy Helfand, I think Betsy's a great name, not content to simply leave the item where someone might begin to eat it, hitting coach David Popkins brought it into the dugout during last week's home series against the Chicago White Sox. The Twins swept 4 games versus the White Sox, not a surprising result for the worst team in the American League. Oh, man, what a put down. Scoring 25 runs in the series. That led Minnesota hitters to believe the sausage was good luck, and they have been touching it before they go up to bat. That is unsanitary. Watch them all. Watch someone finally fucking eat it. That's like the germs of 20 people on it.
Do you have that video, by the way?
What I could put it up on the screen just like I did before if you like.
I think.
What the hell? I already did it once, right? Like, why not?
It gives credence, I think.
If we're demonetized anyway because of what I already did, like, why not show it? You know what I mean? Like, and. So I didn't watch this video. Do they do the celebration on here?
So what they're doing is whenever somebody like comes across home plate and scores, they toss it to them.
Okay, I'm going to play it if that's okay.
Do it.
All right. So here we have a runner. He's scoring the baseball equivalent of a touchdown. Sorry, I'm just doing the best I can. They're all just high-fived him. I didn't see any sausage touching. Where is that at?
They throw it at him as he jumps and fucking grabs it. And that's what they've done for, you know, that whole last series. They're throwing this thing.
One last time. Oh, did they throw it to him? They threw it to him and he caught it. Yeah, he had it in his hand. I get it. You know, if you could catch a summer sausage, you could probably catch anything. That's probably why these guys are so good at baseball.
I'm trying to see further down, I thought, in that article.
I'll keep reading if you want.
Yeah, good.
Anyway, so they swept the worst team in the American League. Hard salami. That's what the Twins posted on Twitter. Tapping the sausage has become enough of a thing with the Twins that the beat reporters asked manager Rocco Baldelli about the team's new totem after Sunday's 11-5 win over the Los Angeles Angels. It's a summer tangy sausage is what it is. I actually looked at the package yesterday, Baldelli said as he pressed it to his forehead, seemingly perplexed about why that he was talking about this. Every night, I tuck it into my cheek and keep it warm with me as I sleep. And it sure is tempting not to eat the night long. It's bringing us a lot of hits and runs and stuff, so I'm all for it, he added. For anyone that hasn't been following, it's a substantial package sausage that Ryan Jeffers has been carrying around in his bag and throwing at people when we score home runs and hit homers. So I'm all for it. And Minnesota Twins post, apparently we have a home run sausage now. No, we do not know why. I'm slightly concerned, as I'm not even an adult, but slightly concerned as more of an adult than maybe some of the people in the other room. that the package is going to open up. Belladelli continued. He's right. That sausage, the casing on it, some point is going to rupture. And that thing hasn't been refrigerated in many days. Guys, I made up the thing about him putting it in his cheek. Right. I'm not making up anything anymore. This is just the article. And the thing is, it hasn't been refrigerated in many days. And there's no doubt that when that thing's opening up, who is ever touching it is in deep trouble. It may create a new form of COVID. There's no doubt in my mind that we are carrying around something that is very, very unhealthy to the human body. Watch as Minnesota's draconian health codes start to get involved and say that they're disallowed to have the sausage. For the skipper's benefit, this is where the media can help. Just as managers such as Belladelli inform reporters about the game strategy, lineup construction, and decision-making, the press can provide those they cover with needed information. And Belladelli can relax. The summer sausages are going to spoil. Opening that thick plastic packaging won't suddenly release rancid odors or possible pathogens into the Twins dugout, clubhouse, team plane, or other such gathering place. I'm willing to say that this team will die from this.
So when I sent you this article, I asked you, weird superstitions, do you have any? Because every sport has them, right? So like, you hear a lot of baseball players, they don't step on the white chalk line, they step over it, these types of things. So like when you get it into a heater, you keep doing everything the same way. And yeah. I don't know, you growing up, John, if you had any in the sports that you played, if you had any superstitions that you had.
Well,
I love this idea.
Outside of sports, there were some. There was always, you know, step on a crack, break your mama's back. So I was fucking stepping on those every day, waiting for something to happen to her. Nothing ever did. I think she's fine. I mean, her back hurt, but I didn't do it. Anyway, I don't have any other superstitions for me. I actually didn't get asked to play that many sports. Anyone who's been around me can tell why. But I guess I do have a superstition about the Cowboys' blue jerseys. They're supposed to be cursed. Back in the 70s, the Rams, whenever we would play there, would actually force us. They would wear their white jerseys, so we would have to wear blue. We don't have a historically good track record wearing our blue jerseys. And I believe there was a season, I'm going to say it was 2020, where we usually only wear the blue jerseys like twice. There was a season in 2020 where like we had to wear them like six times just because, probably because Jerry's trying to push the sales, but also just because of other teams and just the way our schedule worked out. And like that was the year that like Dak's foot fell off, you know? I mean, it was the worst fucking year ever. And I think it was because we wore the blue jerseys for like six games. And so that's like my only sports related superstition.
So like growing up, me playing baseball, I never walked across the lines. I always jumped over, you know, the lines. And then once we were allowed to wear metal spikes, I would sharpen my spikes. And then, you know, with a file like Ty Cobb, even though he was an asshole, I would sharpen them. But as soon as I started sharpening them, I would go, you know, at least 2 for 3 every game. So I just kept doing it. And I would also probably cut somebody on a shin, maybe once or twice or seven times. But I had my little superstitions. But when I saw this, I was like, dude, I love this. So like you see when Major League Baseball teams are, you know, when they hit a home, somebody hits a home run, like the Reds have like a Viking cap and a cape that they put on. That's like, that's their thing. That's their celebration. That's their superstition. When I saw the sausage, though, I started laughing my ass off. I'm like, I'm going to send it to John. We'll see where he grabs it, where he wants to take it. But I didn't know where you thought on superstitions, you know, with football or baseball or whatever.
I just know that baseball is one of those things. It's almost like bowling where you try to be perfect. You try to, you know, and it's such a difficult game to play that whatever's working for you, you just go with it until it doesn't work anymore. You have no reason. Intellectually you're like, the sausage is doing nothing, but you're like, it's not doing anything either, you know? So you might as well just have it here. Like if it's working for us, if it's giving us some sort of energy or morale or some sort of belief, like how much is sports like really like a psychological game? And if you're like, the sausage is going to help me win, you're just going into it with a positive attitude. And I think that does a whole lot. So I don't dismiss it necessarily. you know, I am worried about it. You know, it is a cured meat, so hopefully, you know, it's already preserved and it's not going to, you know, kill the whole team. And like I said, unleash a new form of COVID or anything. What I think they should do, if you don't mind my another take, wait till it clearly is rancid and a threat to human life, like when it's really, really incompatible with human life, and then throw it in the other dugout. They're like, hey, you guys have, you know, give it to, like, you know, the White Sox if they're playing them again, or the Tigers or some other team in their division. They're like, you guys are having a rough year. You guys could use some sausage. And then they gives it to them, and it's like trembling, you know, and it's all sweaty and greasy. It has prints all over it. And they're like, ah, finally, the Tigers will have our time. And then it ruptures, and then, like, they're all covered in boils, and the game's canceled. You know, it would probably turn out that way.
I love the fact that the manager's like, I don't want that thing to open up. Oh, it's cured meat. It's fine. You obviously don't know what summer sausage is, but that's okay. He can be a little bit upset and worried and whatnot, but as long as his players are hitting the ball, it's working.
Good for them. I mean, you guys got De La Cruz and the Twins have a piece of meat, so I don't know what else to say about it.
There we go.
Did you leave? Oh, you're still here. I thought you, like, didn't want to do the show anymore. We're going to say sayonara to Phil Sims and Boomer Esiason, the guys on Sunday morning on football. I think that's a good move. I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but I think those two guys hated each other.
I don't think they got along great. To me, like, this story, it's going to be just very different seeing the CBS, you know, pregame and whatnot without them there. You know, we're creatures of habit. All of us are. It's just going to be different. But Boomer's obviously not hurting. He's staying with his, WFAN, you know, WFAN radio show. But the way he made it sound was, well, was their decision more than mine? I think it was probably time.
Well, I think they'd been, like, pushing him out the door for a while because they replaced him. He was, you know, he was a color commentator with Jim Nantz, and then they brought in Tony Romo, and they're like, "Ah, we're not firing you. We'll just put you on the Sunday show with 10 other people, you know, and you'll get to say five things. You'll get to sit here for literally 8 hours and say five things." Totally worth it. Also, Phil, it'll come with a massive pay cut. Hope that's okay, you know, and obviously he was all right with it, but I thought Phil Sims was a very angry, negative person. I never really cared for him. Boomer didn't bother me so much, but he's being replaced by Matt Ryan. This also comes from Yahoo Sports, the pinnacle of sports reporting. CBS shakes up the NFL today, moving out Boomer Esiason and Phil Sims and adding Matt Ryan. CBS has been rumored to looking into shaking up the NFL Today pregame show. Now the network is following through with some changes. Boomer Esiason and Phil Sims won't return to the show. Another NFL quarterback, Matt Ryan, will join the pregame panelists with Bill Cowher, Nate Burleson, and J.J. Watt on a part-time basis and host James Brown. I don't know what Sunday will be like when James Brown goes away, because he's been, like, a part of, like, Sunday football since I've watched football. Esiason, the former Cincinnati Bengals, the New York Jets quarterback, had been on the NFL Today for 22 years. He announced on his WFAN show that he won't be back. I am stepping away from the NFL Today on CBS. Stepping away because when I went into my office, there was a guy there with a push broom, and he put it into my face and told me it was time to leave. He also signed an extension with WFAN. That's good. He's going to be employed. More than their decision than mine, but I really thought the Super Bowl was my swan song. And I thought that was CBS handled it, especially us guys out there in Las Vegas. It was amazing. So he had a good time. He'll be on his way. And I guess it's going to change a little bit, but I mean, change is the way of things. Right. I think Bill Cowher is really the guy that I really look to for actual insight and commentary. I don't know. I don't know that I really ever cared about Phil Sims and Boomer. I usually tune those guys out, to be honest with you.
Well, and not that I was not a Phil Sims fan at all. Boomer, obviously, I'm a little bit of a homer. I mean, you know, Cincinnati Bengal took us to a Super Bowl. We didn't win, but he took us there. But it's just going to be different. You know, it's when you jump on the TV for pregame, every week throughout the football season, you're used to seeing the same faces. It's going to be different. I think J.J. Watt's going to do very, very well. I'm not sure about Matt Ryan. I don't know. Because I didn't listen to a bunch of his, you know, analysis.
I'll be okay with J.J. Watt just because he's one of the few people out there criticizing how the game's not very tough anymore.
No, you're absolutely.
And I remember him. I remember playing at the Pro Bowl, and he had like a bloody nose. His nose was all split open. He's like, get a load of this, Roger Goodell. You know, I don't know if you remember that.
Yes. I totally do.
And of course, now we don't even have the Pro Bowl anymore, which was like the one game that I really loved. And I could just sense Jake motherfucker Welder like, yeah, because your team always played in the Pro Bowl every year, John. My God, he's so hurtful towards me. Speaking of the Cowboys, they declined to pick up the fifth-year option on quarterback Trey Lance. So they're not going to be extending him farther into the future. We have no idea what's going on with him. I think they're not extending him because they're not extending Dak. I think they're just trying to keep all the options open. But the big news for Dallas, aside from their draft shenanigans, which I guess worked out fine for them because really they have so many openings, they just needed to get more draft picks. And I felt like almost as long as they're drafting for certain positions, they could do anything and improve the team. So there wasn't really any one person that I really wanted them to go after or anything like that. Cowboys have extended or brought back, excuse me, Ezekiel Elliott, the two-time rushing title Cowboy.
I was wondering how excited you'd be or disappointed you'd be.
The running back room right now is not great. Rico Dowdle's okay. Vaughn Armstrong, tiny, tiny guy, fast, but he's got to have a seam to run through or he's nothing. If he gets any contact, he's done for. Elliott, his best days are far, far behind him. I think he has less going for him than we had with DeMarco Murray when we let Murray go to the Eagles. I think this is Jerry Jones looking at Cowboys fans, and he's seeing a lot of hooting, and he wants to turn it into hollering by bringing back a fan favorite, which, you know, if he's competing for a spot or whatever, if he's going to be a, you know, third down back or third string back, whatever, I feel pretty good about it. The one thing that makes me mad, I guess, is that he's sticking with number 15. As you could see, I'm wearing my number 21 shirt. So when Zeke left the team, they massively discounted all the Zeke merchandise. And so because he was gone, as the team does, they're bringing him back and they don't want people wearing their 21 Ezekiel Elliott stuff. So they want him to stick with 15 so that they could sell all new Ezekiel Elliott stuff. And it's just making me very jaded because the guy's going to play 1 year and he's going to retire with this team. So just he's sticking with 15, which is what he had at the Patriots in Ohio State. That's it. That's my only take is that there's like a cynical cash grab there that they're just bringing back for basically merchandising purchases because they could get any running back to fill that position. Why is it Ezekiel? Because he wants to be there. And because the fans want him, and that's about it. Because they could literally go out and get anybody. They could go get an undrafted running back and probably be just as good or better.
Right, and I agree with you. I mean, they didn't utilize him a ton in New England. He was dwindling down when he was with Dallas before.
He only had 5 starts in New England, but he did have like a 70-yard rushing touchdown that got negated by a teammate's penalty at one point. So he had flashes of his old self.
Right. But also, I mean, as a running back, he's old. I mean, they say the average lifespan of a running back in the NFL is, what, 3 years? Maybe three, four? He's been around a long time. Does he still have it? I don't know. But, I mean, you have to look at each team. You know, what kind of blocking is he getting to get the opportunities?
Yeah, in which the O-line had been falling apart his last year there. I'm hoping that he'll throw some good blocks, to be honest with you. I don't necessarily need him to rush, but if he can go out there and be a good – if he can run out of the backfield and throw some good blocks and maybe some screen passes or something, I'm fine with it. He doesn't have to be the guy that he was in 2016 and 2018 or whatever. That's okay. I'm just happy that you know, they get to throw him in the kettle on Thanksgiving. I think that'll be a highlight for me of the year because God knows there won't be anything in December for me to look forward to. All right.
I keep trying to throw chats up, but I keep getting denied. I don't know why, but
you're denied. What chats do you want thrown up? I'll just throw them up.
Well, no, I'm like, I'm just corresponding.
Oh,
that one worked.
There. Sorry for those of you who are listening or not hearing us talk at all or reading the comments. Bone Cold Fleas Austin, old friend of the show, says, I know you all don't talk about basketball. You're goddamn right. One more and I'm out of here says yes. Failure to Stop says basketball never. And Marine's Blood says cricket. We're not going to talk about that either. I tried to watch cricket once. I was like literally at an Indian restaurant, had it on TV. And I'm like, wow, this makes baseball seem dangerous. It was so boring. It was absolutely terrible. They like literally like scooted along the ground and the guy like carefully like moves his bat towards the ball. And everyone like, whoa, you know, they call a timeout every single time they throw it or hurl it or whatever. So I don't know. We'll never cover cricket. Niners are licking their chops at the Cowboys' new center, Zeke. Thank you. That is the one positive that we could like erase, like the worst play in Dallas Cowboys history was when Zeke took the field for the last time and lined up at center and snapped the ball and subsequently got knocked on his ass. And it was just the most pointless, stupid thing that just was designed. I think Kellen Moore did that just to because he was mad that he was leaving. And he's just like, I'm going to make you all look stupid before I go. And I think that's what he did. I don't know why. Let's move on because I'm like, no one else wants to talk about Ezekiel, and that's okay. Our main event.
They're working. My chats are working now for whatever reason, but
I was. Yeah, but the listeners don't care if they're working or not. We're in working, Keith. You're like,
I'm well aware.
Oh, sorry. No.
I told people that if there's something they want us to cover, shoot us the topic.
Yeah, you're right. And we are live. So it's like we got Bone Cold Fleas. You're like, wait, this is live? You never go live. And like, so this is me responding to you live in real time. It's 6:25 p.m. exactly right now.
He said I'm mostly lurking due to work.
Oh, that's Marine's Blood. Yeah, his boss is always trying to make sure he doesn't have any fun at work. All right. This, our main event, comes from Yahoo Sports, the pinnacle of sports coverage. Falcons ownership did indeed endorse the Michael Penix Jr. pick and put Kirk Cousins on the clock. Now what? 3 days after the shocking draft pick crashed into other NFL franchise war rooms like a wrecking ball, like a Britney Spears wrecking ball coming through an adjacent wall, the Atlanta Falcons' rationale for selecting Michael Penix. Oh, thank you. Well,
I just want you to be accurate. I want you to be accurate.
You just outed yourself as a Miley Cyrus fan, though.
I just want you to be accurate. That way you don't get blasted any more than you already do.
Oh, you were about to get blasted for being a Miley Cyrus fan. I just like deemed like pop singer and girl. I was close. What's the difference between Miley Cyrus and...
Not a lot.
Anyway, back to football. The Atlanta Falcons' rationale for selecting Michael Penix Jr. at number 8 overall has been cemented. So this comes in the face of them going out and getting Kirk Cousins and making a huge deal, thinking, well, Kirk Cousins is definitely going to be our quarterback for the next 3 to 4 years for $180 million. That's the plan. Very obvious. Let's draft a quarterback. And let's also get one that's had like 4 season-ending injuries before. So... is this just all like a chance to like preserve Michael Penix so that like he doesn't play anywhere? And by the time Kirk Cousins is broke down, he will be like frozen, like in a cryostasis, and he could just come out of there completely healed because he won't be allowed to play football at all with Kirk Cousins there. Publicly and privately, the Falcons' messaging surrounding their selection of Penix less than 2 months after signing Cousins to a 4-year, $180 million deal are some version of this. Penix has rare talent that Atlanta believes it will need sooner or later. So the franchise took him while it still had the chance. Kind of like Jordan Love, I guess. And the most important part of that decision, team owner Arthur Blank signed off on it. That is what multiple sources with knowledge of the decision told Yahoo Sports, including those aligned with the Falcons, Penix, and Cousins, whose career has now seemingly been locked into a countdown in Atlanta. Of course he signed off on it. No one's going to like risk their career by doing something like this without the boss saying so. Gone is the notion that Blank was somehow in the dark when it came to the Falcons' plans to target Penix, which became a point of vague speculation after the general manager was captured on Atlanta's war room video feed having an animated discussion with the club owner following the pick. Yeah, he probably did have to justify that. I mean, you do have to explain that. In the midst of the moment, it looked like he might be explaining the stunning selection of blank, particularly to the outside world and some other NFL teams that never saw the pick coming. That attitude was the best encapsulated by one personnel source who texted a six-word question during the draft. Is Terry trying to get fired? He's not trying to get fired. So I guess that was their rationale, is that they're basically going to Jordan Love him, where they pick him up now, keep him for later. You know, I remember when Aaron Rodgers was still at the Packers, he wasn't having fun there, but we were like, Aaron Rodgers, one of the best ever to play, certainly recently, still with the team, still has good stats, still doing well. Why are you drafting Jordan Love? And particularly not telling him. You have to wonder, like, what did Kirk Cousins think of the draft pick? I can only wonder. Keith, what are your takes, if any, on it?
I'm very, very confused in the fact that, all right, 4 years, $180 million to a 40-year-old quarterback. I know you don't watch the Drinking Bros, but Ross Patterson is a huge Falcons fan. Lost his shit on their live draft episode. Lost his shit. And it was the most hysterical thing I've ever seen. But I agree with him. You just signed this guy, a 40-year-old, 4 years, $180 million. You sign Penix, or you know, draft him. But you also still had, and Desmond Ridder, former UC quarterback, got drafted by the Falcons last year. He tossed his job away. I mean, he wasn't the guy. So the only thing I can think is they're going to have Cousins kind of groom in a not weird way.
I was going to say that word is taking such a negative connotation.
See what I did there? Not weird way. Penix, and they're going to deal Ridder off to somewhere. Somebody will take him as a backup or whatever. But I was legitimately shocked when I saw that was their pick. At what? I can't remember what number he went. I know it's in the article.
Like eight or something, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think it was the eighth pick.
I was around there.
I was legitimately shocked, though, after all of the bullshit with Cousins and the tampering and this and that and whatever, that you're going to go ahead and draft him. And there was a whole lot of hubbub about that came out super early, and it got explained later, which we know how that works. Gets explained later, where Arthur Blank is sitting there with the GM.
Oh, it's too late now. They have to show a united front. They're just like, yes, we were both in on it. And then he like looks at him and he's like, you know, you just know that the guy's actually going to get beaten when they get home, you know?
Right. I mean, he's sitting there looking at him and he was like, well, no, we got, there's all this hand movement. And you know, it's a soundless video. But he's sitting there trying to explain the decision. They're like, oh no, Arthur Blank was already, he was in on it. He was good. But that came out the day after.
Yeah. Like I said, yeah, it's just, you know, parents trying to be united about having a fight in front of the kids. They're just like, no, we were both in on it. It's fine. Cause it can't be undone. You know, what are they going to do? I mean, I guess they could trade him or something. I mean, that sort of thing has happened before. I mean, think Eli Manning, think the guy that was in San Diego, whose name I can't remember for some reason, probably because I have to pee, but you remember his name, right? The guy with all the kids.
Oh, Rivers.
Philip Rivers. Rivers. Yeah. Sorry for mentioning that I have bodily problems. Also, moving on. Safety is for sissies. The NFL allows guardian caps for helmets to be played during the season. For those of you who don't know what a guardian cap is what they wear during practice, because there's no reason to get a head injury when you're practicing, when you're playing a scrimmage game. This is what they are. It's terrible. And in a league that's very, very much about fashion, with that big contract for Nike, that's very much about image. Think about the way form-fitting pads and jerseys are now. It's very much is about that aesthetic. You're going to have a bunch of bozos going out here wearing these clown things. Just for some contrast, I wanted to show you a real football player. And I don't even like this team, but like this is what a real football player looks like. This is Jack Lambert. He played for the Steelers, I believe, in the 70s. And he's missing a fucking tooth. And he does not fucking care. He did not get it
multiple.
Fixed. No reason for that. And this guy will literally, he goes onto the field and his whole thing is that he's going to kill you and parade your corpse in front of your family. That's what he's going to do. And we have moved from this Jack Lambert, and now we're going to this. So the ongoing sissification of the NFL that I hope J.J. Watt will speak out against. But Keith has been hot about this all week, so I guess I wanted to let him take his turn and say what he has to say about it because, you know, safety is for sissies. Go ahead, Keith.
Well, here, when I sent this to you, I was like, what in the absolute fuck is this?
He was mad.
So apparently they're going to give the players the option. Which, okay, it didn't come out as they were going to give the players the option. The first article I read, the article I sent John, they're going to give them the option of whether they want to wear this. We have already covered, you know, in a couple episodes ago, J.J. Watt saying, well, you're better off just putting, you know, flags around the waist and we're losing what football actually is. Do I want people to not have fucking brain injuries? Yes, I do.
I don't know. I have mixed feelings.
But you also
have a brain injury to feel like that's a good thing to do is to wear the helmet.
But you also sign up and you've played this game your whole fucking life. And now all of a sudden, and I'm waiting, and this is my conspiracy theory into the NFL, is the fact there's going to be financial incentive for you to wear it.
Yes.
As John and I talked earlier.
Oh, I just decoded the whole thing because of you.
This is their way of checking the box, and you're signing off. You're signing off your liability to where you can't sue the NFL if you do have, you know, TBI or end up with CTE, any of this. But I guarantee you it's going to come down to where your contract will get bumped. There will be money in there if you decide to wear this. And I think it's fucking horseshit.
You are absolutely right. You did mention my take on it was that it's just a way of avoiding a lawsuit. I think that's true. Mm-hmm. That's phase one. Phase two is going to be what you said, where you know, it's optional and you can get a bonus. That's called the carrot phase. What always comes after the carrot phase? The stick phase.
Yep.
That's where they punish you for not wearing it. So, just wait. I think you're absolutely right. That is going to happen where at some point we're going to be seeing this, you know, with the flags around the waist. Just remember, folks, flag football is going to be an Olympic sport this year. There is literally a league called the Gay NFL Flag Football League. It's literally called that. You sound like I'm saying a slur. That's what it's called. It's the Gay Flag Football League, which sounds like just a lot of things going on, none of which I want to have anything to do with. So that's happening. And then this is also happening, and it's just it's very slowly and insidiously taking away from the sport that we all love so well. The one thing that we have left to look forward to, you know, because it's not the future of the country, it's not our children's future, it's not some idea that things are going to be better for us generationally. We're not ever going to go back to the moon or do anything important. We're all going to be enslaved by China, probably within our own lifespans. And they don't even believe in ghosts, so they're probably going to imprison us in haunted houses, and it's going to be just the worst fucking thing ever. And we'll have wished the days, by then we'll have wished that we had crappy football, but for now we're not even going to have good football. So calling it now, this is a live picture of me and Keith this coming season when we see the first player go out there wearing that oversized helmet. You can see that both of us are somewhat concerned about the situation.
Oh shit, I'm Barty because you're
you are Barty. Yes, sorry,
you're way taller than me.
You're the Barney to my Fred. We're good friends, and I can always trust you, and you're dependable. And when I'm sneaking out on Wilma to go to a bowling game, I know you're going to keep my secret, but Betty will get it out of you. But I'll forgive you before the end of the episode. But anyway, here's both of us. Just mad that this is even happening.
It's absolutely ridiculous.
Oh, for those of you listening at home, you have no idea what the fuck we were just showed. It's a picture of Fred Flintstone and Barney, right? You got that part. But they're there with the Great Gazoo. It's like the last season of the Flintstones where for no reason they just throw in a bonus character, this little green guy with an oversized head. And it looks kind of like the helmets they're wearing in the NFL. So sorry you missed out on that. It was a true delight. You missed a moment of true hilarity. Sorry, I missed out on that.
My question with that is with the branding. You were talking about the branding and, you know, the form fitted pads, the form fitted jerseys, you know, obviously Nike or, you know, whoever's grabbing it this year, Reebok, whoever. How are you going to brand that? I don't even
know. How are you going to put a swoosh on the side of it? It's as easy to say as that. You know, well, how no, do you make it cool?
But it's well, between cool. that and the team emblems, I mean, if, yeah. And to our listeners that aren't watching, you know, it's a bunch of like just little pods. And if you haven't searched a guarding cap, search it. But how do you put your, you know, the Bengal stripes on it or the Titan stuff or
Bengal stripes? How do you could look so bad on that.
How do you do that,
Keith? You got the Bengals have. I'll say this: the Bengals actually have a really cool helmet.
Yes,
you guys are going to fuck it all up more than anybody. That is unbelievable. Fuck it all up. I feel bad for you guys.
The Steelers will be pissed.
Yeah,
because you can't break up that emblem.
Yeah,
because that's the steel emblem, the steelworkers emblem, and then they just put Steelers in it. Mm-hmm. How do you break that up? With that honeycomb is what I was looking
at. Yeah. The only team that'll be largely unaffected, the Browns. They just spray painted orange. It'd be good to go.
Yeah. Browns will be fine.
Every other team though is gonna look shittier.
They're inconsequential anyway. So
yes, maybe they are and maybe they are not. I don't know. All AFC teams are to me. Anyway, last story. America's pastime. A Cubs pitcher's forced to change out of a patriotic glove. You'll be pleased to know, Keith, I did a small amount of research on this. Meaning I asked my friend who really likes baseball to explain it to me, but go ahead with your take first.
I think it's, do we have the pick or no?
The picture of it? Oh, yeah. Yes. No, but you talk about it and I will save it and then I will throw it up on screen. It'll take like 2 seconds.
All right. Just to put context. So there was a pitcher that was not allowed to use the glove that he had that had an American flag on it. Now, I know that there are very strict limitations on uniforms throughout, you know, baseball or even football. You can't alter, you know, what you wear. Mm-hmm. This guy had an American flag on his baseball glove that he had used multiple times. And all of a sudden, that glove got ejected and he had to bring in another glove. And had to have somebody go to his locker and grab one that his spare still had the American flag on it.
I have
and ended picture. Up. What's that?
I have the picture. I'll throw it up.
But I'm like, so we're not allowed to be patriotic anymore. I think it's absolutely ridiculous. That does not mess up a batter at all.
The take that I was fed on it is that so when you're going up to hit and the hurler's on the mound and he's getting ready to hurl the ball at you and you're going to wham it, you know, wherever it is you're going to do that, you're looking at the glove very closely to see any white of the ball as it is released. And if you're looking at the glove and you see any kind of distracting marks such as this American flag, that it might distract you from the timing of the release of the ball. However, my counter argument to that would be like, just do a real good job and wait, make sure it's the ball. And so if you're being distracted by something, I feel like that's fair. I feel like there should be more of that. I feel like the teams should do whatever they want to do to distract you from doing that. I think that's completely fair. But yeah, you have to wonder, you know, if that was a flag for Palestine or something, would anybody be throwing a fit about it? Just seems like another in a constant wave of anti-American sentiment. You could see here Fred and Barney, very sad that he has to take the glove off. I just quick pasted it over the other picture. So
I know you're not a huge baseball fanatic, but
I love America.
But you can't see as a batter, you can't see what that ball looks like while it's in his glove. You can't. All you're seeing is his glove as he's holding it, and he's got his hand here. His hand is figuring out what pitch he's gonna throw and where his fingers are gonna be placed on that ball. You can't see shit. That's why I think it's absolutely ridiculous that he's not allowed to have an American flag on that thing. I mean, the rules are the rules. I haven't looked at the, you know, baseball's CBA and all of the of the Major League Baseball rule, you know, the book, but I've seen other shit.
Yeah.
So when I saw the American flag and he wasn't allowed to wear it, I'm kind of throwing a proverbial football flag. Fuck that. That's stupid.
We have some interesting and different people in the chat. I wonder if they're lost. Abby Ellsworth is here. I know that she's a Browns fan. I guess by speaking about the Cleveland Browns, she was summoned to the podcast. Abby, if you want to talk about the Cleveland Browns later, we could get in there. Oh, now she's not a Browns fan anymore. Now she's a fan of Tampa and Baker. So she has basically no hardcore belief she could be moved at any time. She will be loyal to whatever fan or to whatever team appreciates loyalty the most. Abby, I don't even know what to say about that. Also, April is here for some reason saying, I think they need to wear the full body air bags as well. She's right. They need to go out there and just have the full blown things. Like they need to look like the Michelin Man. Have you seen those? Or like the suits that like the canine, the police dogs, when they attack the guy, just wear that. That's yes. Safe.
I've worn one of the blow ups on an ice rink where you run through. And then you get hit by somebody else, like they're all inflatable. I think that's not a bad option either now at this point.
Yeah. What would be cool, April, is if upon impact, they were full airbags. Maybe this is what you're talking about. But they explode forcefully and they cause way more injury.
We can't do USA, but we did that together. That was awesome.
We did do it together. I've been in many car crashes, as you know, April, and I have had many airbags punch me in the face. And frankly, they might man up the sport a little bit. So maybe we could bring in, it would cost a lot of money, but hey, the NFL's got it. So thank you for adding that. I appreciate that. Bone Cold says American flag should be mandatory. I agree, but I also believe that performance-enhancing drugs should be mandatory. I believe that Ellie De La Cruz should be like the slowest, like lamest guy out there. That everybody should just be like completely roided out. I've just been a big believer of that for a long time. I know that's not exactly a unique take. Abby says after 35 years, she gave up on her team. You know, I'm having a hard time with my team, but I'm not giving up, Abby. I think that is super lame. And I know you like Baker Mayfield and he was not treated well by the Browns, but Baker Mayfield's going to be gone in like a year. So, well, he's had a 3-year deal. So he'll be around for like 2 more years and that'll be the end of old Baker. So hopefully you could appreciate it. Well, I don't have any more sports. Do you have any more sports? I feel like we are sported out. Are you happy with your draft? Good, yeah. Did the Bengals draft anyone good?
We drafted a guy, our first draft pick, Amarius Mims, 6'8", 340 pounds. So now we have 3 offensive linemen that are 6'8", 340 or a little bit over. So hopefully Joe Burrow gets some protection. Hopefully. We drafted a defensive tackle a second round, which is what we needed. I think I give it a B. If I had to gauge it.
Did you give it a grade? Yeah. We only draft an offensive lineman named Tyler now. So we did that. Well, last year we got Matt. We got that guy from Michigan. So he wasn't named Tyler. But we have a lot of offensive linemen named Tyler now. So, or Tyron, Tyler. They're all kind of in that general area. I'm going to go to the bathroom. Sorry for telling that to everyone. Why did I say that? But I've been very uncomfortable. I don't know if you've all been seeing me fidget. My teeth are floating. This show is brought to you by Ghostbed. I don't even know what point in the show I am in. It's over tomorrow. I don't know what's going on because Eric's like down in Florida having a good time. I didn't even get invited to that. Keith, did you get invited?
I did not.
I posted on that Instagram today saying like, I didn't even get invited to this. And he was like, you always get invited. Like, no, I do not. I didn't get invited.
I did not either.
I don't know if even Deadleg got invited. Will Cray, that is not true. I won't even say what he said, the filthy mongrel. Glad you guys enjoyed the episode. We are live, Bone Cold and others. We appreciate you. There'll be something tomorrow. I don't know what Eric's planning. I'm going to be getting my brakes fixed, so like, it won't be me. I'm busy. No one asked me to cover anything. Keith, it could be you. I don't know. But then we'll be back here on Monday with comedy. No one got that joke. on Tuesday, True Crime. Great episode, me and Kendra coming up. As always, Wednesday, all the news you need to feel depressed and realize there's no reason to make plans for tomorrow because it's all going away. Everything that you believe in, all your ideals that you fought for. If George Washington could see this country today, he would have stayed in bed at Valley Forge. And then next Thursday, we'll be back with more sports to distract you. That's what we're here for. Thanks for watching the show. Keith, thanks for being my podcasting partner with the pro sports personality. And thanks for fighting all those fires. And thanks for saving all those people from death so they can go through their lives covered in painful scars.
All right. Until my retirement party when you said they should all come back.
Well, your retirement party when some guy without lips shows up to thank you. All right. Well, we appreciate you guys watching. We're going to catch you a little bit later, and we'll catch you next week, and we'll catch you whenever. Keith, thanks so much. I love you, man. I will. We'll catch you all next week. Guns up.
Giddy up.
Thank you. Goodbye, America.